All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Finance and Facility Committee meeting for March 21st at 6:01. We'll convene the meeting. Any public comment? Mr. Cooper?
Yeah, we have two items tonight. First, we have a check number 22230 made out to Olive Grove Landscaping for $7,808.38. Much of this was for mowing and trimming grass in the month of November. I've been a homeowner in the western suburbs for about 30 years. I can tell you that I don't remember ever having mowed in the month of November, anytime after Halloween. It's generally just not necessary, and the almost $8,000 here could have been saved. Next, when did it become the taxpayers' obligation to provide babysitting services for a parents' book club and other bilingual and dual language parent groups? For the 5 months starting in October 2015, we spent over $1,500 in babysitting and translating services for the Hispanic book club, dual language parent nights, and COD ESL registration sessions. That's a conservative total with snacks included, because of course you can't have someone babysit or translate without snacks provided. It's over $300 a month for these expenses. Now, I know that Mrs. McCluskey isn't concerned about what she spends, nor her boss sometimes. I'll be nice. But let's not forget things like the PBL trainers from Colorado, belonging with them eating in a downtown restaurant in Chicago on this, and all of those things. Taxpayers District 41 expect more than this disregard for tax dollars. Mr. Esclavi, I present this information to you so that you will, of course, take appropriate action with next year's budget to prevent reoccurrences of this waste. I know that Mr. Buchholz understands. Thank you.
Thank you. Carolyn, anybody else? No. Okay. Review and approval of minutes from March 7th.
No,
good. Good. Okay, we'll approve those. And then we'll get into the thank you. Easy enough for you to say. The regular education transportation bid. Kurt and Patrick, I sent a letter out, I think, Thursday evening, Friday morning. I can't remember which one. I know there's questions from the two of you as well as a couple other board members. Regarding that piece. Becky, do you want to do a quick overview of that bid? And then we'll jump into further questions.
We talked about this briefly at the last finance meeting. But just to review quickly, we went out for bid for regular transportation because our current provider, Illinois Central, notified us in the fall that they would not extend or ask for an extension of their current contract, which by law they could have. Forced us to go out as a cooperative to bid those services. The memorandum that we provided you a month ago showed you the tabulations for the bid, and First Student was the low bidder for Glen Bard 87, Queen Bee 16, Glen Ellen 41. And the low bid for Marquardt 15 was Westway or Cook, Illinois. And the low bid for Glen Ellen 89 was the current provider, Illinois Central. District 15 is still deliberating as to whether they will go with co-op and go with First Student because of low bid. But the bid laws were changed several years ago to allow us to award contracts not based on low bid, but based on service. And their current, from conversations, District 15 is not happy or pleased with the service that their current provider has been providing. So that there is some question as to whether they will remain with them because they were the low bid or go with First Student. As the memorandum that we gave you a month ago demonstrated, our costs will be a 5% increase the first year and then a 3% increase in the final year of the contract would be 3%. Tonight, Lombard 87 is asking their board to approve the contract with First Student contingent on the elementary districts of Queen Bee 16, Glen Ellen 41, and Mark Park 15 approving First Student as the transportation provider for next year. Otherwise, their approval will be null and void by May 1st. Anything else?
Mark Park 15 has to approve it too? That's what 87 is saying?
Yes.
Yeah, all districts have to approve
all
it.
All districts except
the board.
So if they don't, then that makes 87 void. That means this bid is...
anyone.
Tanked.
Or we can go to Illinois Central's, who submitted a bid. But for us, that would be an additional $425,000 in cost. So... we hope that Mark Park 15.
Any reason why they would go on the not have $75,000 savings on their budget?
Service.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not delivering kids to school on time, then that's an issue, and I believe those are some of the concerns that they have.
When do they vote?
I'm not sure. No, I don't know.
I believe
their
first meeting in April.
Yeah. I think that's why 87 put in their bid that the elementary districts would have to approve in the month of April by May 1st.
So would it not be wise of us to start that external bid process? Because if April 3rd, 5th, or whatever they go with 15, that subsequently takes 87, and then we're 3 weeks behind the bid process for buses.
That would be hedging our bet.
Yeah.
but I would certainly want to have a pretty detailed conversation with our legal counsel, because we do have another legitimate bid.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no guarantee if we go out to bid that we will see bids low.
I would agree with that. Kurt?
I read through this. And I don't know that I was reading through the performance bond, and you know, I asked about that. You know, I'm the first guy that would love to save money, but I remember, I mean, First Student, it seemed that from a quality standpoint, they were not the same as the only center.
That is a correct statement.
So
we had them roughly, Dave, I'm going to look to you, I think 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Central for 5 years.
Okay, 5 years. Yeah. But you are correct. There were some service issues prior.
And I might be mistaken, but I think that First Student, that Illinois Central's bid now is cheaper than the last price, the last cost that we had with First Student 5 years ago.
I would not.
Yeah, I don't know. We can find that one for you, though.
I think that may be the case, which there's some red flags for me.
Okay.
How is First Student so much cheaper than anybody else? Eric asked a good question that I had thought about as well, which is the staffing. I mean, it's pretty hard to get it. You know, you need a CDL.
Right.
You know, they have to go through all sorts of background checks because they're with their kids. It's harder to be a bus driver than people, I think, give a credit to.
I would agree with you.
And the pay is not probably great. So to say, well, we could just go find some. So they're going to have to, I would assume, hire some people away from Illinois Central, which, at least from the things that I found out, that Illinois Central is, you know, at least from the, at least my perspective of it, is that they're able to keep their employees. They're maybe happier, I don't know. But, and I think Patrick touched on not necessarily that, but was asking about labor, you know. So then I started to think about the performance bond. So that whole thing, that got hinky for me. And I'm not sure if that was, you know, our attorneys got involved in this, but, you know, they ask it for in the bid spec. They say we need a performance bond. Then on the backside, they say, well, we don't really need a performance. Well, for me, which one is it? And when they say to me that, well, okay, let's say people go off this, right? I mean, nobody here knows that, right? I don't have a performance bond. They say, well, they have to honor their contract. Well, that's great. You know, I mean, so they honor the contract. But you can't just create bus driver now. So if they go on strike, they only have so many management people that they can jump in a bus. Our kids are going to be standing there. I mean, that's just the reality. So so then we have no performance bond. And it's fine for the attorney to say that, but, you know, if I'm frantic, I'm looking at it like, well, if it doesn't work out, then we'll just billable hours on the backside trying to get them to make sure that they're picking the District 41 kids up. And in my world, the attorney really, in this case, for me, really needs to make sure we're protected. And the performance bond, and I sent this to Paul, the performance bond is deeper than just the bond itself.
Absolutely.
It means that nobody wants to go to their bond. Because if they get to their bond, they can't get any contracts. Because no bonding company in the United States is going to bond them.
I would agree with you.
So now they're dead in the water. So they'll do anything they can not to get to that bond. If we take that out of them, they have no, you know, we have that is a strength of position for us in that we have that bond as protection. So taking that equation out of it, it just that whole thing makes me nervous that way, and trying to offset the cost from our court, and you know, and I understand that, but my thought process at this point is, you know, I think we've been pretty happy. I mean, it's not perfect, but we've been pretty happy with Illinois Central overall. I almost am to the point of saying we should rebid this thing, go back out and see, you know, say try again, you know, and I just don't know. I mean, there's such a discrepancy. You know, I guess First Student's saying they can do it, but if they're bidding at such a low margin, because I'm sure Illinois Central is trying to bid at a competitive price. You know, they're not trying to bid non-competitive. So if they're $400,000 less in the life of the contract, you know, now you're back to, if they're bidding all these things out that way, price of fuel goes up. You know, however they fuel them. You know, I don't know if it's natural gas or however they do it, but they get caught hedging that bet. They go bankrupt. We don't have a performance bond. You know, I mean, it's easy to say, you know, the attorney can say, well, we don't think they'll go bankrupt. Well, I don't know. Nobody's looked at their financial statements. So the whole thing to me, as much as I want to save money, I just think that we're doing a lot of things to try and make sure that this happens. And I appreciate staff trying to save money, because that's what you're trying to do, and we're trying to work ways to do it. But I just think we're, you know, it makes me really nervous, you know, and I'm a pretty conservative guy that way. So,
Kurt, would you rather the performance bond still be a part of it, that it's not pulled out at the end of the day?
Yep.
Would you be more comfortable if the performance bond stayed with the current pricing structure, but we pushed back and said, no, D41 really wants that performance bond as part of our...
I just think you need to have it. I mean, I just think... You know, attorneys sometimes can get kind of slick and think, well, they're probably right. The likelihood that it happens, they're probably right. But if it doesn't, they're covering the way, because they're gonna say, well, on that side, we're gonna negotiate a new contract, and we're gonna go after First Student, and we're gonna get hours. But really, for me, it just needs that. I guess I disagree with them on this, and it does protect us, even to some of Patrick's questions about, you know, there is a union involved. This is not an easy thing to do. You know, so.
I think Illinois, Carol,
would
you correct me if I'm wrong, Illinois Central is unionized.
Oh, they probably are. Yeah, they probably are. So, you know, but all the more, I mean, if it was Illinois Central, I would say we need the performance bond.
Yeah, you're not saying it's First Student.
Right.
You want a performance bond.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if we save money and then we get a year and a half or 2 years down the road and it's January and there's a problem at First Student and now we've got kids standing on bus stops, we have no performance bond. You know, the attorneys can go ahead and write letters and say, you better pick those kids up tomorrow. And they say, well, we don't have enough bus drivers, you know, because of whatever. And we don't even know, again, they're obviously probably secure thinking they're going to be able to go ahead and provide the service for taking on this business again. But they don't probably have the employees now to do it, you know.
First Student has lost a few accounts, as you do every bidding cycle, and they would be transferring drivers from other bus terminals that they have into work in Glen Ellen and or other accounts that they have, because they want to maintain their current staffing level. So I'm not so concerned. Even if they went on strike, they may just be striking here. It may not be in every district. or every local, and they would bus staff in. I'm not concerned if they went on strike that we wouldn't have replacement drivers to drive. And I would say that if I didn't feel comfortable with it.
Okay. I appreciate that.
But other thoughts?
Still makes me nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know,
that's the
89.
Last thing you want.
Well, in 89, you know, they obviously stayed with Illinois Central, mm-hmm. and kind of dropped out of it. And for me, it didn't really. I mean, First Student didn't really flinch. They're like, well, okay, we'll keep the pricing. So then I start to think, well, if they don't get Mark Ward, are they? I know that they're probably further this way, and it's more attractive to them from a route standpoint than maybe 89. But you know, if Mark Ward mm-hmm. doesn't do it, are they really going to turn their back? Because if they've lost business now, are they really going to say, well, you know, we're not going to honor this because we didn't get Mark Ward. So, you know, we don't want 87 to 41. I don't know. Maybe some part of me says call the bluff. You know, see if they drop out. I don't know. But, so.
Is the Illinois Central consortium bid?
They're all individual bids.
They're all individual.
They're all individual
each
bids.
Each district stands on its own.
And then you if it works for them, they bring them together. And for First Student, what they're saying is if we have four districts, this pricing structure works for them. Anything under that, because they don't have so they don't have the current base like Illinois Central does, where they have many districts out here. Mm-hmm. They're starting to try to regain that foothold where they were 5-6 years ago.
Right. So you're saying as either as a consortium or not, the price for Glen Ellyn is always going to be 2.2 or 2.6?
Correct. That's 2.6 is what Illinois Central bid for us.
If we're in
individual, yeah, individually, and then First Student was 2.2.
But what Patrick's maybe saying is if Mark Ward stopped out, would they still go at the 2.2? And you're saying they're telling you that we need the four districts.
They're telling us they need the four districts to make it.
And that's where you could.
Does that make sense?
You could almost maybe. I mean, there is part of me that says we'll call their bluff on it.
Yeah.
Well, the estimate from First Student, if Mark Ward doesn't stay in the co-op, is that'll be an extra $250,000 shared by A7.
But what you're saying, Kurt, is call them on their bids right here, saying this is what you bidded for an individual district. So what if Mark Ward goes?
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
You still have still have 87, 16, and 41.
Right.
So
dollars on the table or
yeah.
Yeah,
I think
mean,
that's
for me.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Our share
I mean,
of that is
exactly right.
About $49,000.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if you go back and say, yeah, you know what, but you're not, we don't think, you know, you bid at this, you bid it individually, and I get, but there's a lot of moving parts. We can't control what Mark Court does.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe the board's willing, hey, there's some savings there, the board likes the savings, but, you know, they're, you know.
Well, your job is to protect this community.
No, you're asking. The questions everybody asks are really great questions.
I mean, you could always say to them, you know, and it's a possibility for me that you, well, we'll go back out and rebid it. Everybody's seen the pricing now,
mm-hmm.
so maybe somebody's attitude changes, right? And they say, well, you know, maybe we can reduce some of this. I don't know.
You know, somebody asked me today they've been asking me this over the last couple of weeks. If we bid it on a standalone basis, would we pay more? And I can't answer that question.
Right.
And I would tell you that the First Student bid for 141 is close to what I was paying in Park Ridge, different community, but they have one more elementary school, one more middle school, 1,000 more students, and a preschool building that they transported to. So I couldn't say that we wouldn't get that price.
Yeah, so you're actually saying maybe it's not the greatest price you've ever seen.
So, because we have 3 weeks between this and our next meeting, would the Finance Committee want us to push back on First Student to say, you know what, here are our bids. You do whatever you want with Mark Ward,
right.
But this is our $2.2 million bid, and that's what you wrote it for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to go for,
exactly.
And that includes a bond.
Yep,
that includes
the
bond.
And that's what I would say. And
Patrick,
you know,
are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, and Illinois Central is... That's a consortium bid, right? 2.6 for us?
Yeah, that's their individual bid for us.
I think that's not a bad idea. I mean, you got a consortium bid with Illinois Central, and then you got a First Student
Yeah.
One bid.
And we're saying hold to this bid. And we recognize you're saying four district, but we're saying.
I just can't see that they're going to want, if they want to get back in here, they're obviously bidding it attractively to try and get us back in.
Yeah.
So they're hungry for the business. I just think maybe, you know, I just think if they've got 87, 41, and 16, I think.
Patrick said that's still a chunk of, a little bit of money. A lot of money.
So
what I heard, push back with bond, though.
With the
performance bond. Are you agreeing?
Because I still think Patrick has some, you know, better points with that. So.
Other questions on this? Or is that? And you can just email us as well. Or Becky, any other questions? But we'll be working with the other districts starting tomorrow on this feedback, as this will be.
Well, good news.
Yeah.
Good news is you can just blame it on your finances.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, this pretty much tells 87 we're not approving it.
Not at this point. We'll give you guys feedback. We'll email. Becky and I will send the board feedback based off of what First Student says to us, and then we'll be back here April 11th for full board discussion, and then we'll go from there. But there's no way we're going to be approving April 11th.
No.
I mean, there's just no way.
No. And I look at 87, and I think, I mean, it was probably a little over $1 million.
Yeah.
They're looking at, you know, as I was reading this, I was thinking I was with one of my daughters who was trying to talk me into spending money on something. I'm asking questions, and I'm getting hinky answers back. And, you know, like, wait a minute, this isn't adding up for me. And so for me, I'm hoping that 87 is just not seeing dollar signs and saying, you know, you have to look at, I mean, the reality is the quality has to be there as well, because they're picking our kids up, and they're picking our kids up on 10 degree below zero days. So, you know, we have to make sure that that's there. But
I think your other point's an important one, Kurt. Prior performance here was not spectacular. Mm-hmm. Five, 6 years ago, whatever that was.
Current references, though, we couldn't find anybody to say a bad thing about them.
Yeah, and it certainly could improve, and that's a good thing. And it's it's great if they're willing to do it.
Illinois
Central, I'm good with that.
But just want that performance bond included.
Yep.
Okay. We good? Yep. And then Becky and I will get back to finance and full board with that request. Next up, the Ms. Lori Campbell and the Educational Benefits Co-op Health Insurance Renewal.
Our final insurance renewal. First of all, Patrick, I want to bring this one to you. You had asked for the audit.
Yes. Thank you.
From last year. So the meeting was last week, and as you know, we had pre-renewal figures back in January. I believe I shared this before in February, but we got our final renewal numbers last week. And compared to trend, they're looking really good, and actually in most areas compared to the pre-renewal numbers, they're looking great. So, you know, as you remember, this is for a July 1st renewal through June 30th. We have a PPO and two HMOs and dental through EBC. We also have life insurance through EBC. And that particular rate is held steady because we're in a long-term contract right now with Reliance Standard. So anyways, taking a look at PPO, at the pre-renewal, we believed we were going to be having a 7.7% increase. Our increase for next year is going to be 5.5. And just to note that you might have seen in the board report is the final increase for PPO was to be at 7.1%, but the EBC board decided to use 1.5% of working cash to buy down the rate increase to bring it down to that 5.5 average. So that's a good thing, and that's actually really great for us and for our district, because we were looking at 7.7 and now it's 5.0. In terms of the HMO, our pre-renewal was going to be at 5% increase, and right now we're at 0.7% increase. The numbers came through in terms of claims data for the HMO throughout the cooperative much better than budgeted and better than anticipated, and some of their fixed costs came in lower than they had anticipated too. So that's really good for us. The one thing to note, though, is the average band for the co-op for PPO is a 0.3% decrease. But either way, trend is 6.5% increase. So I think that 0.7% increase is actually something that's extremely desirable. And then in terms of dental, our increase for next year is going to be 1.1%. They were projecting a 0.3% decrease, but again, came in differently than anticipated, and so we're within the average band for that. And as I mentioned earlier, they did release some working cash to bring down that rate for BPO. Our next steps will be I'll be working with Becky in the finance department to make sure that these new rates are in the payroll system. We'll be going out to staff in May for open enrollment, talking about any changes to the program, any increases and decreases, and allowing our staff to elect coverage for next year.
You know, what was, because I wasn't on the board then, what was the, wasn't there something with the contract, with the renegotiation of the length of day? Was there, wasn't there some portion about the health insurance being, I remember sitting out in the audience, and I think somebody, Stephanie asked about it, and I think Dean said, well, there's a cap or something, that if it goes over, that, I don't know. A
couple of things. So, first of all, with the extension of the school day with the MOU with the teachers, that's talking about the cost sharing that happens with the insurance premium. So, let's say, the premium is $500 a month. We have the increase of 5.5% for PPO. Teacher pays a certain amount. Board pays a certain amount based on if you have employee coverage, employee plus spouse, employee plus children or family. I think one of the questions that came up was about the Cadillac tax and concern if the plan was too rich and if we were at risk for hitting that Cadillac tax threshold.
No, there was a question because we were concerned about, we thought that it would have been sold to the teachers that their health insurance premiums were going to be frozen for the next 2 years.
The cost sharing is frozen. It's not, the premiums, they couldn't process that because EDC sets those premiums based on the cooperative and the performance. But the splits are the same.
Because I thought Dean answered the question by saying, oh, we protected ourselves because if it goes over 4% or... I'll have to go back.
Go back and look at it if you have. The best that I can remember, but I'd be happy to look at it with you.
Okay.
So, all right. And then I did want to correct something last time. There was a question about the amount or the percentage that needed to be in reserves that I had incorrectly in my notes previously written 10%. It's 15% that they keep in reserves. I have two big binders worth of detailed financial analysis related to this renewal. If you would like to look at them, I'd be happy to share them with you. I was trying to just give highlights. And Patrick, you can take that for a little while. Just get back to you when you're done. Okay,
yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right. I think I'm up.
You're up next.
Okay.
Staffing update.
Yeah, if you had our staffing update, next section, I started to put the parts on the title slide so at least we remember, at least I would remember where we are. So we've done the first section, we've done the second section, we came down to the ESL and bilingual staffing last time. Today we're going to talk about special education, which I'll talk for a minute. Oops, go back. Which, wrong way, second. So special education will include self-contained classrooms, resource-related service providers. So one thing to just begin with a quick reminder about is the class size limits for State Board of Education in terms of special education. If you remember in our class size target recommendation for the board related to Gen Ed said for self-contained classes, within special education, the Illinois school code sets those. So these are the class size limits that are set by school code. It has to do with the amount of service that a student receives in special education. So, for example, if they're in a self-contained setting, 20% or less of the school day, maximum is 15 students with one teacher. It can go up to 17 with an aide. If they receive between 20 and 60% of their day in special education, max is 10 students per one teacher or 15 with a teacher and an aide. Students who receive more than 60% of their day, one teacher per eight students, up to 13 with a teacher and an aide. different rules for early childhood, and that is they start out with 5 students with 1 teacher. They can go up to 10 students in a class with a teacher and an aide. So what does that look like for us for next year? I tried to put these charts together so that you could see where our staffing currently is for self-contained special ed and what we're projecting for next year. The only thing that's different between this year and next year is this 0.5 right here at Forest Glen, and that's something that we don't even want to post for yet. We would like to, that's one of those positions that we want to budget for and hold in reserves, and the reason why we're suggesting we do that is because in early childhood special education, as children turn 3, if they're eligible for services, we start them. So no matter what time during the year, it's very different than like kindergarten or first grade, actually kindergarten, when they have to be 5 by a certain deadline. When they turn 3, if they are eligible for services, we have to start them in the program. Looking at our projections for next year with our current 3-year-olds, we're up pretty fairly high and close to those class size limits for ISBE at this point in time. If your kids turn 3 next year and qualify for services, we will be in good shape. But we're projecting that we probably will have more that will throughout the year. So at some point during the year, we may need to add one section of early childhood special education, which is a half of an FTE, which is what you see right here. So just a quick reminder, though, about those early childhood special ed students, they can also be placed in our blended program. So while you see this number of sections for early childhood special education, there are also students that are in the blended program who are considered early childhood. And going to the other schools, Lincoln, we don't have any self-contained special ed. At Franklin, we have 3 self-contained classes with 3 teachers. And at Hadley, we have 3 self-contained with 3 teachers. Of our self-contained programs, only 2 of the classrooms are open to other case member districts. One of the classrooms is over at Hadley, sometimes referred to as our emotional support classroom. And then one is over at Forest Glen, which is our early childhood instruction program. And I believe, and I'm going to just refer to Michelle real quickly, we have our own kids in these programs right now. Do we have any case students involved in that?
We do in the Hadley
program. And that's for case member districts would pay tuition to us for kids to attend our program. So just an overview of the number of students that we are dealing with in terms of special education services. We have 4 and 5 students with IEPs. You can kind of see how it breaks down there. This would be for your resource or speech-only students. These are the students in our self-contained programs. We do have 5 students who are placed with the case programs, 1 in a public day, and 16 who are outplaced. So when we're talking about the staffing, we're talking about this 318 and this 65. So in terms of resources, you know, special education resources are for students with an individualized education plan that receive, you know, most of their services in the gen ed classroom, but some pull out or push in with a special education resource teacher. So for 16-17, we are looking to make some an increase in terms of our resource support for our students. And what we did in order to get to these numbers is we took a look at caseload, which is the number of students assigned to each special ed teacher. We looked at projected IEP minutes. And then we were also looking at getting some feedback, or we received feedback from our special ed resource teachers that they were struggling in terms of really making sure that they can meet the needs of all the kids and have time to prep and be ready for their instruction. And I'm not saying they're not doing a good job now, they're just saying it's been very difficult for them this year. They feel like it's just too high in terms of a caseload and workload. So we are looking at an increase at Franklin for next year, and at Churchill, and at Forest Glen. Now, if you remember at Churchill, we added a half-time special ed teacher mid-year for this year. So really right now, we're sitting here at 3.0. I put that as a note here. But if you're looking at the true difference between the start of 15 to the start of 16, there would be an increase in 1.0. And Hadley, we're not recommending any change.
Are these aides for it, or are they actual teachers?
These are teachers. Okay. And one thing to remember, too, and remember when we were talking about the ESL staffing and how it's not as cut and dry as class size targets, because when special education resource teachers are working with children, they're pulling or pushing in the different groups of kids at different levels, and you have schedules that come into effect there. So it's not like you just put them into a class and it's nice and neat and tidy, kind of like class-based targeting to some extent. But it's a little trickier and a little more nebulous when it comes to situations like resource, like liftoff, and some of the related services, I would say, too, because it's driven by the IEP. Then in meetings with Michelle Gallo, our Director of Student Services, we also were looking at speech path and the related service minutes that were needed for that. And so for 15-16, we've listed what our staffing is here. You can take a look at the chart to see that. But we're requesting or saying that projecting that we will need an additional 1.5 of speech language pathologist time. And again, that was based on a review of service minutes, of caseload, and also wanting to provide for more cushioned speech services to support in our self-contained classrooms. We feel that that's a more effective model than pulling out. So you'll see some of the increases where more of our self-contained classrooms are clustered. When you get to Hadley, you'll see the staffing levels much lower. Typically, when kids are at the middle level, their related services and speech are not as high or as needy as they are early childhood or early life. The speech and language has developed further by that point.
Lori, I'm happy that you're addressing this. Because I can see from some of the survey comments and stuff that there was, but from when we were looking at this, and I wasn't on the board, but looking at it from last year to this year, it looks like you're taking into account what you're getting feedback. Yeah. Was there a reason why we were off with the amount of staff maybe we should add?
I wouldn't say that we were necessarily off. We were staffing for what we felt we needed. Again, looking at caseload and looking at minutes. But based on that feedback and how things fell into place, staff has said, we met with the resource teachers in February and said it's been really hard. Mm-hmm. So we felt it was important to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we always are going to make our best guess, and guess is probably not the best word to use there because it is based on fact and analysis. But
fair enough.
All right. So then social work psychologists and behavioral staffing, we are not making any recommendation for changes in those levels for next year. Again, keeping a social worker and a psych in all of our buildings with the exception of Forestland, which has more social work time because of the, and Franklin more time over there because of the self-contained program, and also at Hadley. One behavior specialist for the district, and just a reminder that while this may seem kind of low relative to the number of kids at Hadley, we do have 3 guidance counselors over there who help a lot with the social work community for the kids. They can't provide the IEP service minutes, but they can help out with groups and meeting with kids and interventions and so on. No change in social activity.
So that was...
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No,
who was able to kind of help out with things but couldn't?
Ed Hadley.
What were you saying, guidance counselors?
Yeah, the counselors.
Primary guidance counselors, yeah.
Now, can guidance counselors get certification to be able to help with IEPs?
They're licensed as guidance counselors. If they went back and took additional courses to get the endorsement for school social work or for psych, they could.
Just interesting. I wonder. Is that something that people have in the marketplace?
I haven't seen that. I've seen people either come in, like for example, their job fairs. They're either guidance or they're social work.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It is. In fact, one of our guidance counselors is actually an LED person with a guidance counselor endorsement. And then services purchased from CASE. I just put this up here to let you know what we're looking for in terms of. What we're going to be needing from CASE. We have not had, in the past, we've had speech pathologists come at SLP. Sorry, used an acronym there. From them, we're not having any, we didn't have any this year, we would have any next year. Occupational therapy, we are going to need to do an increase in OT minutes, again, based on IEP projections. Physical therapy, no change. And then adaptive PE, we're working on a plan to deliver adaptive PE using staff that we have here within District 41. So we also may use some CASE staff if we have a student coming with hearing or vision issues. So we'll use itinerant or part-time teachers from CASE for that. We don't hire our own for that because it's such a low incidence kind of situation. So just to kind of summarize, we're recommending an increase of 2 additional resource teachers, 1.5 speech path. The reason why these two are in yellow, this is the additional FTE that we want to budget for, but not staff for yet, and it's at halftime, early childhood special education. And just as we do with our other staffing, at this time of year, we're continuing to staff and post, you know, somewhat conservatively to make sure that we are hopefully matching our needs based on our projections, and then using our finance system. I work closely with Becky Allard from a budget to make sure when these presentations come through that she's got those numbers, that she builds them into the budget, and make sure we can afford it.
That includes any retirements and resignations?
Yeah, Becky and I work together, we go in and we pull out all of our all of our retirees, all of our resignations. We put in a dollar amount, which is the average new hire for the last 5 years that we use that for.
So are you thinking that you'll offset some of this cost by someone retired and or the teacher coming in?
Oh, we have 13 retirements this year.
Not all in special ed.
No.
No, no. Across the district. Yeah. So, any other questions? I think I only have two more categories for next time. All right?
Yep. You're close.
Right. Well, if there's more, let me know. Thanks.
Any other questions overall? Patrick?
Thank you.
All right. With that, we will end our Finance Committee meeting. Thank you, everybody.